Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. For most of us, getting up in the dark is harder than getting up after the sun has risen. But it's easier when you know that the day is near, when you're anticipating the sunrise. And that's the character of Advent. We call Advent penitential, but it's not the same as Lent. It's more like getting a good start when it's still dark. How do you do this, practically speaking, as a Catholic? You might make a morning offering first thing. Do some push-ups to get the blood flowing. You want to be ready for the day because something very good and important is about to happen that will require your full participation. Replacing a good routine with a donut may not be quite as effective. And so it is with Advent. We have a character of fasting, but it's an anticipatory fasting. It's getting ready for something that is good and certainly going to come. The physical work that we do, the physical disciplines that we have a way of elevating the spirit. So it is getting up in the dark of the morning, and so it is as we go forward in a fallen world, putting on the armor of light. And so St. Paul tells the Romans, you know what hour it is, how it is full time for you to wake from sleep. So this very concrete image has a spiritual analogy in light of our own lives, but also in light of the salvation of the world. So Advent is anticipation, ready for the light of dawn when even more energy is promised. Have you ever seen the sunrise after a difficult morning and you feel energy seemingly entering into your body as the light breaks on the horizon? That's the character that we can have during Advent. As we anticipate the Christmas celebration in a very concrete human way, but to prepare us for all of life, this is the character of the Christian life, anticipating the full redemption of the world. We have a hope set right before us. That's what's so beautiful about Advent, is it so mirrors so well the tenor of what it means to bring forward redemption in a fallen world throughout the year. And so we start the Christian year setting the pattern for all that is to come. St. Paul says, for salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So that salvation can refer to both the transformation of the world in Christ, as well as your own transformation as you seek a divinization to be more united to Christ. And what he's saying is that each day is moving you closer to that victory. And so he continues, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Far gone in this situation means the night is advanced, like the darkness just before dawn. It's almost run its course. And at hand means the day is breaking in. It is just about to appear. So what does this night represent? I think we have a sense of this. It is a fallen world, which we understand what darkness represents in terms of evil. But this is, yes, it's the fallen world looking for redemption in Christ Jesus. But it's also our own darkness that we have not fully arrived. We're not fully sanctified yet because we have those effects of the fallen world. So again, the words of St. Paul, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. But the question is, for you and me, each day, do you believe that? After all, it seems like darkness increases in our world. Persecution increases among Christians. Christianity has been thrown out of public schools in our country. In 30 years throughout the Western world, just 30 years, we've seen Christianity going from the basic unspoken moral code of our country to becoming simply merely accepted, to our culture being by and large hostile to the Christian faith. We've got pornography on devices that we have on our hands that challenge people daily. Just as one example of an encroaching culture that challenges our faith, challenges morality, even as our freedoms are eroding in our country. So this is the perspective that one might have. I could go on. Your own perspective may be different. But here's what Paul is saying in light of this. This is no surprise in light, especially of the early church when persecution was increasing in Paul's day. God's purposes continue, and you are a part of that. Nothing can stop the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ as he advances and builds his kingdom in a fallen world. That surrounding darkness that we see, it is pierced by the light of the church. And this darkness is dispersed by your own sanctification as well. That's a promise. That is the overarching reality that can guide, affect, set the tone for your perspective at the beginning of every day. So in this, you have agency. In this, you are empowered. Cast off the works of darkness, Paul says, and put on the armor of light. That's battle language. It's not passive waiting. It's decisive. It is active. To prepare for an athletic event, yes, you're motivated to eat right. You train your body. Again, that's the spirit of Advent, beginning that day with a physical component that has a spiritual effect. Advent can be invigorating because Christ has created the conditions for victory by entering the world, by creating the church of which you're part, but he also enables you to advance as he offers you the armor of light. Yes, the day is already at hand, because the church is here. You simply receive that. You receive faith, you receive baptism, and the armor of light is Christ. He says plainly later in the passage, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to put on the armor of light. St. Paul uses this language several times throughout his letters. And in light of this, he's simply saying, put on your baptism. The grace that you've received, own it. Believe in it. Walk in it. I came across some words of John Wesley, who describes it this way, this language, throughout Paul, as putting on Christ. He refers to it as a strong and beautiful expression for the most intimate union with him and being clothed with all the graces which were in him. That's yours. That's offered to you. That's your agency. And so he creates the conditions for victory and, yes, enables you to advance. And so in light of this, I'd like to reflect on how others have reflected on this reality, this idea of light, this imagery of light, which is so pervasive throughout Christian history. And so very simply, there's this tangible component in our letter, in this passage, where St. Paul says, do not gratify the earthly desires. And when he says this, he refers to it this way. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. And so these seem like extreme words, like reveling. How often do you revel? I mean, you who gather here this morning, but basically, let's just put it in more familiar terms. He's saying, just embrace a measure of temperance. Have some chastity. Have charity. In so many words. And so in this, as we embrace these virtues, we claim a spiritual victory through the material. Just like in the morning, just like getting up, you know, and starting your day right, doing some calisthenics. The material has a way of lifting the spirit. And so he says, begin with this. Pay attention to how you live. Now, Teilhard de Chardin says, relatively famously, that we are not so much human beings with a spiritual experience, we are spiritual beings with a human experience. So our human reality affects a spiritual truth. But yet we are human beings. It's not one or the other, it's both and. But let's not forget how much that what we do now, what we do physically, turns the lever, so to speak, and advances the spiritual world. And so his point is that we are moving toward light. And this idea of Tehar Deshadin was embraced by Pope Benedict XVI, as he says that he went on to give new meaning to Christian worship, this whole idea of this spiritual reality as being incandescent in our world. And so he developed this in his thought in such that we understand our worship here today to have such an effect on all of creation that it brings light forward. The transubstantiated host, these are the words of Pope Benedict incorporating Teilhard's thought. The transubstantiated host is the anticipation of the transformation and divinization of matter in the Christological fullness. All right, so what happens here changes the world, even as it changes you. In his view, the Eucharist provides the movement of the cosmos with its direction. It anticipates its goal and at the same time urges it on. Avery Cardinal Dulles refers to this incandescent view of the world. So what you do by embracing the spiritual sacramental reality has a sacramental effect in your life, the physical affecting the spiritual. And in such way that, yes, the church, your life, pierces that darkness even as it surrounds us. There's an interesting perspective from the Jewish tradition, a tradition that might give some insight into this idea of putting on the armor of light. In that, in some Jewish thought, the garments of skin that were given to our first parents, Adam and Eve, were a compromise after what they had before. And the idea is that they were not utterly naked before the fall, but they were clothed in light. And there's a wordplay in the homonyms of light and skin. The change of one letter changes one to the other, even though they sound the same. And so they went from light to mere skin. And so unpacking this, a rabbinic perspective on this is that our garments are our cognitive limitations. Bereft of the light of Eden, we no longer see the interconnectedness of heaven and earth, or of spirit and matter. And as one rabbi said, even the perfection of the Torah eludes us. One exception, they would say, would be Moses, whose face shined after his presence with God, being able to understand the physical and the material once again. Now, if we understand this, this ought to remind us of something, which is the transfiguration, where we have something even greater than that in the sacramental reality that we have received. And so this light tradition, this perspective of light, of course, has been embraced by Christians. And just coming, I mean, this is so pervasive, just in my discussion and readings just yesterday, came across Hildegard de Bingen, who writes of the Holy Spirit as we put on Christ. The Holy Spirit works in us this way. It is a burning and shining serenity which cannot be nullified and which enkindles ardent virtue so as to put all darkness to flight. That's yours by virtue of your baptism. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to choose, you know, passing pleasure over against this privilege, this surpassing joy? Saint Sophronia talks about the uncreated light affecting us this way. He says that the uncreated light as we experience it in Christ, this is in Eastern terminology, removes passion and brings the unutterable delight of liberty and spirit. So the passions which war against us by embracing the light can give unutterable delight that replaces those passing pleasures. This is why we fast in Advent. It's penitential, yes, but it's anticipatory, embracing a greater goodness, because the day is dawning. So notice that the armor we put on is not camouflage. This is not black tactical gear. No, this is a witness. As you pierce the darkness, this is something that others see. St. John Chrysostom says, never to be forsaken of him. This is what it means to put on Christ. And his always being seen in us through our holiness, through our gentleness. That's how he unpacks what it means to be putting on Christ. So let us, yes, fast in Advent, in a certain sense, with anticipation, taking on the joy that invigorates us. One way to do this might be to make a morning offering your first thought of the day. Referred to by St. Jose Maria Escrivá as the heroic minute, as your first moment of consciousness to say, I give all to you, in your own words. God, the Holy Spirit will work and give you words for this. But ultimately, you receive him first so that you can give yourself. It's a receiving and a giving, simultaneous, so to speak. And that sets the tone for the rest of the day. Gratitude for the day, and then giving in response. So yes, brothers and sisters, in all this, our victory is assured. Simply walk in the light by putting on Christ as the armor of light, and by tapping into the transfiguration, yes, we bring forward the coming of Christ.